The following program is a presentation of CRN Digital Talk Radio and Les Kincaid. And now it's time for Wines du Jour with your host, Chef Les Kincaid.
Thank you for joining us on Wines du Jour at Fire Rock Steakhouse here in Las Vegas. We're America's number one syndicated radio food and wine program, bringing you great information about good wines and great food on each and every episode. Thanks for all your inquiring emails sent from your home country, from literally all around the world, from the East Coast, from the Left Coast, from Australia, from Baja California, from Japan, just about everywhere. Welcome. Our in-house special invited guest audience, both hungry and thirsty, they're getting a little vino as we speak, and we can't wait to get started. So tonight's special guest is Michelle. She is a manager here at the restaurant, and she is covered up, if you know what I mean. There's a lot of business going on in this restaurant, so she may not be able to get in here until later in the program. Our program broadcasts each week, remembering that each time we reflect on what we're all about, and that is, wine is food. A meal is a meal, but with a glass of wine, it's a celebration. From casual gatherings to formal affairs, wine celebrates any event. Remembering also that we discover lots of information about taste and flavor as we enjoy good food and pair it with excellent wines, because wine is bottled poetry. If this is your first time listening to Wines du Jour, stay tuned. You need to know that we do not allow snobbery or intimidation in the room during our broadcast. And Wines du Jour Food and Wine Radio broadcast is distributed in all 50 states, all around the world via radio on CRN Digital Talk Radio Network, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher Radio, AHA Radio, and on several worldwide internet systems all around the globe. We're also available on podcast and free on iTunes. So listen to us also on Wonder Radio or Warp Radio. You're listening to Wines du Jour. I'm your host, Les Kincaid. So don't touch that radio dial. We'll be back with fun, information, and great taste right here on Wines du Jour. And remember, a meal without wine is called breakfast. That's what I think. I want to start out by saying Happy New Year to everybody. Yeah, I think that's a good thing. You know, Mark Twain once said, plan for the future because that's where you're going to be spending the rest of your life. Now, doesn't that make sense? Okay. The New Year sets the home for things to come. You know, we have to worry about what we did wrong last year, if we can think about it that way, and what we can do this year to make things even better. And that's a real good thing. So we worry about how much food we're going to have, how much weight we're going to gain, how much gasoline per gallon is, all the little things that really don't make an awful lot of difference in our life, but to us, they're important. So decide what you want to do and just have fun doing it. That's the most important thing. And, of course, always remember, wine is food. That's where we get our goal for wine and food. We pair food and wine here together on Wines du Jour. We go to an upscale restaurant each week, and we supply three different wines to that restaurant that we're going to pair some food with. And tonight, boy, we've got some great red wines. We have a beautiful wine from the San Luis Obispo area. And I have to tell you, San Luis Obispo is not a place to think of as a place to visit to have a hamburger. There's a lot of great wines there. There's a couple of wineries that actually do wines for people that don't want to do an awful lot. And exactly that's what's happened here tonight. We have one wine. Our very first wine tonight is a blend. We like to call it, just for the sake of nothing else, Hiljack Cuvée. It comes to us again from San Luis Obispo, and it's a blend of Syrah, Grenache, Mourvèdre, and Tannet. Uh-oh, Tannet? What the hell is Tannet? You probably never heard that before. When we come back from the break, I'm going to tell you a little bit about what Grenache is, what Syrah is, what Mourvèdre, and what Tannet is. It's a grape. I just want to let you know it's part of our first tasting. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back coast to coast and around the world on the internet right here at Fire Rock Steakhouse in Las Vegas, Nevada. Welcome Welcome back to Wines du Jour. We're having a good time here at Fire Rock Steakhouse. You know, Fire Rock Steakhouse is a beautiful restaurant. It's a freestanding building. I don't know how large it is in terms of square foot, but I'm going to say around 5,000 square feet, and it holds probably close to 300 guests. And let me tell you, it's busy all the time. In fact, I'm going to announce something that just took place here at Fire Rock. They are now open 24/7. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, anytime you can come here and have a great meal. That's really good news. In this particular part of town, we're way north and a little bit west of downtown Las Vegas. I have to tell you that there aren't very many restaurants out here to have a good breakfast, certainly not too many for lunch. And the dinner here at a steakhouse, I mean, how bad can that be? The chef really knows how to cook steaks. Now, that sounds a little bit funny, but I don't mean it to be. And the reason I'm saying that is, you know, the average person buys a couple steaks that are already cut at the grocery store, and they take it home, put it in the refrigerator, and then they decide they're going to have steak for dinner. They go out and fire up the grill, get the steak out of the refrigerator, walk out, throw it on the grill, and burn it. I should say cook it. Burn it is what they probably do most of the time. And let me just give you a little synopsis of what I think you should do instead of just that simple. Buy a steak that they cut for you. They don't charge you any extra. And if you get that stuff that's in a little tissue paper and plastic wrap, I'm not real big on that, so I'm going to ask the butcher at the grocery store to cut me a couple steaks. And let's just talk as an example, use T-bone as an example. So cut two T-bone steaks about an inch and a quarter thick, not half inch, but about an inch and a quarter thick. Yes, it's going to cost a little bit more. It's going to taste 10 times better when it finally comes to the table. Take it home. Put it in the refrigerator. That's okay. Nothing wrong with that. But here's what you need to recognize, and I'd like you to start doing it if you're not already, and that is take it out of the refrigerator about an hour to an hour and a half before you're going to cook it, not 5 minutes. Why? We want it to come to room temperature. The difference between room temperature and the 550-degree grill that you've got going out there is not so bad. But when it's only 39 degrees and you put it on a 550 grill, it just tenses up. And that's what happens. The steak becomes not so tender. So if you allow it to come to room temperature, and that stands true, incidentally, for vegetables or meats, that would be chicken or any kind of poultry or pork or beef, anything you're going to put on your grill, do it at room temperature first, okay? Then the grill, I don't want to talk too much about barbecuing. There's a difference, obviously, between barbecue and grill. Barbecue is what you cook normally, a large piece of meat for a low, slow temperature, maybe 6 or 8 or 10 or 12 hours on the grill. And you have the fire on one side of your barbecue and the meat on the other side. That's called indirect cooking. As opposed to with steaks, you have the fire directly below and you put the steak right on the grill above the fire and it cooks pretty quick. Now, an inch and a quarter steak, I'm just going to tell you, at room temperature should take you maybe a total of 8 to 10 minutes, depending on how well done you like your steaks. I like mine rare, but if you like a medium, that's fine. Just leave it on an extra minute or two. So 3 to 4 minutes on each side is about right for rare. 5 or 6 minutes for medium, and oh my God, if you want well done, order hamburger instead of steak. Do everybody a favor. There isn't a chef or a cook anywhere that wants to order that wants to produce a well-done anything for customers. It really hurts them to do it. They will do it because that's, you know, the customer is always right, so to speak. But for you as a consumer, you're better off with ground beef than you are a well-done steak because it will not be tender. And the ground beef, of course, we don't have to talk about that. Okay, so... I just wanted to give you a hint about the grilling part of fixing steaks. And what goes good with steak? Well, most generally, Cabernet Sauvignon is the most popular by far. of the varietal that you would get in the bottle to serve with the steak. But tonight, we've got something a little bit different. We've got a wine from, I mentioned earlier, San Luis Obispo, California. That's Central Coast, for those of you that don't know where San Luis Obispo is. And it comes from a winery that does a lot of custom bottling for different winemakers. It's called the Workshop Winery. And this particular wine is 2012, and it is a blend of Syrah, Grenache, and Tannin. And I want to tell you a little bit about Syrah. Syrah in Australia is called Shiraz. Syrah in France is called Syrah, but it's spelled different. They're all the very same grape. So no matter what it is, if it's S-I-R-A-H or S-Y-R-A-H or S-H-R-I-A-Z, Shiraz, it's all the very same grape. Shiraz is known, it's actually a dark-skinned grape that is grown throughout the world. It started out in France, and it's grown. And the popular use in Australia is enormous. In fact, it's the most popular red wine consumed in Australia, as opposed to Cabernet Sauvignon and many, many other countries. Then I just want to tell you that the Syrah has kind of an olive tempenade taste to it, which I happen to think is pretty nice. Also some dried herbs, and I'm saying herbs and not herbs, with the H. That's the proper way to pronounce it, and not that you have to do it, but I'm just letting you know that there is a difference. It's spelled the same. It's just pronounced a little different. This Syrah also has a little cigar. Now, you can smell that cigar, so if you hear in the audience, if you'll just kind of swirl your wine for 5 or 6 seconds and then stick your nose in there, you'll probably say, I'll be darned. There's a little bit of anise, there's a little bit of black pepper, and there's a little bit of cigar. No kidding. And when you get your food to go along with that, and like I mentioned earlier, steak is probably the most common. Then the next wine, or I should say grape, is Grenache. Now, Grenache is very, very popular. It started out tasting strictly like strawberry and fig jam and maybe a little cherry and pink peppercorns, that type of thing. It's not really complex, but it's very, very tasty, and it's been used for many, many years, starting in France, as a blending grape. They take that juice and add it to, in this case, to Syrah, to increase the overall tendency of the Syrah and give it a little better mouthfeel. So that's what Grenache is all about. It comes to us, like I said earlier, from France. However, it likes really hot weather and dry weather. So it became very, very popular and still is one of the most popular red grapes in Spain that you can imagine. So Grenache is pretty much a Spanish wine by today's standards, even though it originated in France. And I happen to think Grenache is a pretty good product. I don't see Grenache by itself in the bottle. Like, you know, it started out with Merlot and Cabernet Sauvignon. They just call that the French red wine. And then they got so much Merlot around the country that they started bottling it by itself. So you can buy Merlot in any retail store without a problem. But you can't buy Grenache by itself that I know of, and I'm sure that it will happen. However, the last one that I want to talk about on this wine is Tannin. Tannin is kind of a cinnamony, French toast taste. It has some limestone, and it's a little bit acidic. And when you blend maybe a couple percent, not a lot, but a couple percent with the Syrah and the Grenache, you get, I think, what is a beautiful taste. Here you can swirl this wine for about 8 or 10 seconds, stick your nose down in there, and it just smells like, I want to drink this. And then when you taste it, it kind of fills your mouth with flavor. It also is not only in the front of your mouth or the front of your tongue, if you will, but also what we call mid-palate. And then the finish, that would be when you swallow the wine, and you get what we call a long, lingering finish. When you swallow this, you continue tasting it for several seconds later. So that's what that's all about, and I think it's good. Now, the restaurant here, this is a steakhouse, as I mentioned. So you know darn good and well a steakhouse is going to have some seafood. And one of the things that they're going to serve, or they're going to bring it in here in just the next couple minutes, is actually calamari. Fried calamari is absolutely outstanding. In fact, they're coming with it right as I speak. And the calamari, along with this big, fat, bold red wine, I think you're going to be very pleasantly surprised that it's going to taste pretty doggone good together. That's what it's all about. So Syrah, Grenache, and Tenet are the three varietals in this Workshop Wineries product that we call Hilljack Cuvée. Hilljack Cuvée. You're not going to find it in the retail store. I'm sorry. They only made 200 cases, and we got several bottles right off the bat. So there's not a lot of it around the country. Maybe if you go to San Luis Obispo or maybe to the Workshop winery, you might be able to get a bottle. But other than that, you have to be here on Wines du Jour in order to enjoy it this evening. I'm sorry about that. The second wine that we're going to have, which is not going to be poured for a few more minutes, comes to us from Washington State. It is actually what we call Horsehaven Hills is the vineyard that it comes from in Washington State, and that would be the Central Coast the eastern part of Washington, Heaven Hill State, owned by Columbia Crest, a big winery that is based in Washington State, and it's very good. I didn't mention about the first wine that we're consuming now is 14.5% alcohol, which I think is just about the top of the line, something perfect. Not too much alcohol. It'll still pair well with food. And we're going to find that all three of the wines that we're consuming this evening are also 14.5% alcohol, both the second and the third, as well as the first. So, I also wanted to mention one other thing about this Hilljack Cuvée, is that we have a little Mouvadre. And Mouvadre is a nice varietal. It tastes a little plummy. It has a little blackberry and more of a red fruit taste. And that's another one that they've added to the Syrah or Syrah. So it's also popular in Spain, just so that you know. So the taste is black and fruity. It's got very good tannin, and it works really well with this calamari. What do you guys think? You've had a chance to taste the calamari now and the wine. Don't they go good together? You wouldn't expect seafood to go with a big bowl red wine, but it works, and that's why we're doing what we're doing, and that's a really good thing. So the second wine that we're going to be pouring here in just a few minutes, as I mentioned earlier, is Horsehaven Hills. That's a Cabernet Sauvignon. It's 100% Cabernet Sauvignon. It's also 14.5% alcohol, and it retails for about $12.99 a bottle. It's not overly expensive. It's available in most all retail stores around the country. It shouldn't be a problem to find. Horsehaven Hills Cabernet Sauvignon, and this is the 2013, which means that's the year that the grapes were grown, is 2013. So for $12.99, I think you're going to think it's really very, very tasty, and the good part is it's healthy too. You know, nothing wrong with wine. Wine should be consumed one or two glasses a day, according to the medical profession all around the country. Actually, all around the world, they agree that it should be that way. Got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about this beautiful Horsehaven Hills Cabernet Sauvignon. Be back in a moment. Welcome back to Wines du Jour. We're having a good time here, and we're just tasting this calamari Hilljack Cuvée, and I'm telling you, the blending is very, very good. One of our guests found the Workshop website which is more than I was able to do. But San Luis Obispo is a great area. Of course, it's sunshine quite a bit of the year, and it's generally fairly dry, although it is on the coast, and that just means that there's always a 8 or 10 mile an hour breeze that probably has a lot of moisture in it. So the humidity there is high, even though it's warm. But anyway, that's where that wine came from. And the Horsehaven Hills that I mentioned before we went to the break, which is the Cabernet Sauvignon, comes to us from Washington State. And one of the things that Columbia Crest does is they kind of were able to buy property around the state of Washington. You know, I guess I should preface it by saying most everybody thinks it rains every day in Washington. Well, it does in Seattle, which is the northwest part of Washington State. But the central and eastern and southern part of Washington, it's pretty close to Las Vegas. I mean, it has desert land and so on. It's not doesn't rain every day and so on. They don't get an awful lot of rain, maybe 8 or 10 inches a year, which is not very much, where Seattle probably gets 35 or 40 inches a year, just to give you an example. And then just also to compare it to Las Vegas, we get about 4.5 to 5 inches a year maximum. And it's usually on 2 or 3 rains. It's not like it rains every other day like it does in Seattle. So anyway, the point I'm getting at is that Horsehaven Hills is a pretty good product, reasonably priced at $12.99, and the percentage of alcohol for Cabernet Sauvignon, 14.5, which is really, really good. This is a real, if you look at this, it's dark. It's really tannin color. I don't know if that's a color or not, but you know, it just has a real dark ruby red color to it. It is vegetal. It likes bell pepper and asparagus as far as the nose is concerned and the taste. A little bit of asparagus is something that you don't see in an awful lot of wines, but it's definitely there here. Black pepper, of course. Eucalyptus is another one that we don't see an awful lot of, but in this wine, it's very good. And the chef has decided that he's going to do something. Well, you know, if you're a steakhouse, I guess I'm not sure. I'm just saying this to be funny, I guess. But I think steakhouses originated in Texas. You know, they love steak in Texas. And one of the things that they love in Texas in addition to steak is chicken fried steak. Chicken fried steak with a little gravy on it, they are in seventh heaven. And that's northeast, south, and west Texas. It's also popular in other areas, but not so much from a health standpoint. There's not a lot of chicken fried steak around. But today, we're going to have a few bites of chicken fried steak to go along with this wine number two. So that's, again, kind of different. You never think of chicken with a big, fat, red Cabernet Sauvignon from Washington State. But that's what we're going to have. So they'll be bringing the wine out in a moment, and right behind it will be the chicken fried steak bites. That should be very good. Best ripening for this particular Cabernet Sauvignon in the Horsehaven Hills area in Washington is around September. In California, it generally starts out about the middle of August and goes through to November. In Washington State, it is a little bit later. It doesn't start out in August, but it does start out September, October. And what that means is it has a shorter growing or ripening time, I guess is a better way to put it. So it doesn't ripen the same as it does in California. And what that means is it's going to taste different. They may be Cabernet Sauvignon, but it's not going to taste the same coming from California as it does from Washington State. And that's a good thing, actually. And what happens when you really get into wine, you can taste wine blindly, as they put it. That just means you don't have to be blind or cover your eyes, but they just pour the wine without you seeing what bottle it came out of. And you can taste the difference between the Horsehaven Hills Cabernet Sauvignon and say, one from France, or one from Spain, or one from California. they are all Cabernet Sauvignons from the same strain, but it's certainly not tasting the same, because what we call, and we talk about it here on Wines du Jour quite often, and that is terroir. The terroir in every part of the country is a little bit different. So we'll talk a little bit more specific about terroir when we come back. Got to go to a break again. We'll be back right after these messages. Hello, yes. Welcome back to Wine du Jour. We're having a good time here at Fire Rock Steakhouse in northwest Las Vegas, Nevada. And boy, I have to tell you, chicken fried steak. I understand why Texans like this. This is pretty good stuff. It's not the most healthy thing in the world, but it's, moderation is the answer to that. But the fact is, this Cabernet Sauvignon from Horsehaven Hills in Washington State and this chicken fried steak bites are really a very nice match. So we got 2 out of 2. We're doing really, really well. And I have to tell you that 14.5% alcohol content is right on line with this Cabernet Sauvignon. So I think it's good, and I hope you do too. One thing about Cabernet Sauvignon is it's probably considered to be the number one popular red wine in the world. There's more people drinking red wine that is Cabernet Sauvignon than any other varietal, no question about it. Syrah, or Shiraz, if you will, as I mentioned earlier, down in Australia, that's one thing. But all the rest of the world loves Cabernet Sauvignon the very, very best, and there's no doubt about that. And incidentally, speaking of most popular, when it comes to white wine, I have to say Chardonnay is without question the most popular white wine in the entire world as well. Not my favorite, but certainly a favorite of an awful lot of people. And it's not that I don't like Cabernet or Chardonnay. It's just that Chardonnay does not pair well with all kinds of food like you would think. You take a competitive varietal, which would be Sauvignon Blanc, and you can pair 10 times more food with the Sauvignon Blanc than you could with the Chardonnay. That's my reason for thinking that. I don't think it's wrong. If you like Chardonnay, that's okay. Drink it. It's good. You know, like we say in the wine business, drink what you like. That's the most important thing. Okay, the third wine, which will be coming out here in just a couple of minutes, is a blend of, they call it a Meritage from Chateau Saint-Michel. Everybody knows Chateau Saint-Michel's name. You know it also comes from Washington State. It's just east of Seattle, just out of the rain belt. That's the way I look at it. It doesn't rain there at Chateau Saint-Michel every day like it does pretty much in Seattle. But this is a blend, 72% Cabernet Sauvignon and 25% of Merlot, and that gives us only 3% left. 2% of that is Cab Franc, and the last one but not least is 1% of Malbec. Now, Malbec, for those of you that aren't familiar with that varietal, is the most popular red wine in Argentina. It's a very nice wine. It goes great with steaks as well. It doesn't have to be Cabernet for sure. You know, I mentioned earlier about pairing Cabernet with steaks, and that's a good thing. It's all right, but it shouldn't be limited to that. You should find that maybe a porterhouse, you might want to put a little Syrah with it instead of Cabernet. Or a T-bone, you might want to put a little Cabernet, or you can also blend it with a little bit of Malbec. Malbec is bottled by itself, so you can go buy a bottle of Malbec wine in the retail market, and it is very tasty and goes very, very well with red meat. Not just steaks, but any kind of red meat. You know, it could be roast, whatever. So it has a really nice, elegant taste to it, this third wine I'm talking about. And I think part of that is because of the beautiful combination of varietals that are there. By far, Cabernet Sauvignon is the biggest taste of the whole bottle of wine with 72% of Cabernet. And then right behind that, you know, the typical French way, adding a little Merlot to Cabernet Sauvignon. That's what they've done here with about 25%. And then they've tasted a little bit of Cab Franc and a little bit of Malbec just to kind of round it off. And this is probably overall the most well-rounded taste of all, drinking it by itself or by serving it with food. And in particular, this goes well with red meat. Now, when I say red meat, that does not mean you couldn't take a big 2-inch thick pork chop and enjoy it with a glass of this, because you certainly could. But typically it would be the red meat. It could be a roast, or it could be a steak. It could be a stew. Now, you know, that's something that we don't seem to find an awful lot of, is stews, until, you know, we're at the end of the winter time, so to speak. So stews, hopefully you had some last month and the month before, and you could certainly have stew this month, and maybe even in February is okay. But stews are something that's good, and a Malbec or a Cab Franc or a Cabernet Sauvignon would be very, very good with a beef stew. Now, stew, I don't know. I grew up thinking stew was something that you could afford in your household and so on. It's a kind of a inexpensive cost. But you know what? We're not cooking for inexpensive costs here. We're cooking for taste. So if you want a good stew and you don't have a recipe for it, send me an email. I'll be happy to send you two or three recipes for beef stew, pork stew, chicken stew even. I'll be happy to do that. You can do that by emailing me at les@leskincaid.com. Pretty easy, pretty simple. Or you could go to my website, leskincaid.com, and you could get to me that way as well. But what I'm saying is, I'd like you to just not be in a rut, so to speak, and automatically have Chardonnay to drink before a meal, Cabernet to drink with your dinner, and live happily ever after. You're missing out on a lot of different great tastes, not only recipes in terms of meat, but also wines. Got to go to a break. We'll be back coast to coast and around the world on the Internet right here on Wines du Jour. To taste wine number three, and then I want to mention the type of food. Now, you don't think of any type of Oriental food with big, bold wines, but we're going to have with this wine, and I'm going to talk quite a bit about it here in just a moment, we're going to have egg roll. Now you think, holy, egg roll, are you kidding me? But then you said that when I said chicken fried steak, and you said that when I talked about the other ones as well. Okay, so we're talking about the artist series of Meritage. Meritage is the blending of the grapes from Chateau Saint Michel, and I think I mentioned it before, but I'll do it again. 72% of that Meritage is Cabernet Sauvignon. 25% is Merlot. A Cab Franc is 2%, and 1% of Malbec. And I have to tell you, I think that combination is great. And I haven't had the egg roll yet, but I'm sure it's going to go very, very well with this. On the other hand, while you're tasting this, before they bring the egg roll to you, I want you to think in terms of a beautiful, big, inch and a quarter or inch and a half thick steak and serve this with it. Now, what do you put on it? You know, so many people say, oh, I put lemon pepper, I put this or that on steak. You know, the best thing on steak is three items: salt, pepper, and granulated garlic. We do not use garlic powder. We leave that in the grocery store. And right next to garlic powder in the grocery store is granulated garlic. And that's because the shelf life of granulated garlic is about five times that of garlic powder. So when you buy garlic powder, bring it home, and it's in your cupboard for a week or two, it could be no good in terms of putting flavor in your food. Yep, you take the lid off and smell it, you're going to smell a lot of garlic. But when you taste it, it's not there. granulated garlic is the answer. The same thing stands true with granulated onion as opposed to onion powder. Those are the two that are really, really, really important. Okay? So, this is a pretty good one, and they just brought our egg roll out. This is a giant egg roll, incidentally, and it looks awful doggone good. I haven't had an opportunity to taste it yet, but I have to tell you, it's got to be okay. Now, this Meritage from Chateau St. Michel in Washington State is, I think, pretty elegant. The taste is big and bold, but it's still kind of on the feminine side, if you know what I'm saying. It has a lot of layers of black cherry, which I think is very important for a big, fat, bold red wine. And the spices and the flavors actually meld very, very well together. So take your wine like you would do any time with any wine, is swirl it for about 8 or 10 seconds, then stick your nose right down in there and see what you might be able to smell, if you will, and then take a nice taste. So what I'd like you to do, and I'm sure you already have this habit if you've been listening to Wines as Yours for any length of time, is that when you get a wine, whether it's at home or whether it's at a friend's house or at a bar or with your dinner, and they pour a glass of wine, before you do anything, take a look at it. I know that sounds a little weird. You say red wine, what are you going to look at? It's red. Well, you want to hold it up into the light and look at the reflection, if there is any. There may not be, and that's okay. It doesn't mean you have to have a reflection. And white wine, you can basically see right through it. And what we're looking for is reflection of light. We are not looking for little beasties or sawdust or any of that stuff. That's not why we're doing this. We're doing this to see what reflection is. And you'll find that after you drink a little bit of wine over a period of time, I don't mean a bottle at a time, but I mean a glass at a time over a few months, you're going to start seeing that the reflection is going to tell you a little bit in advance of what it's going to taste like. No doubt about it. But you have to do it in order to make it happen. Then swirl it for about 8 or 10 seconds. Then put your nose in the glass, smell it, and see what you can come up with in terms of flavors. And then take a nice taste. A nice taste might be about half to three-quarters of an ounce. Then slowly swallow it and see what happens. You're going to see that the tannin, the acidity, if you will, is going to kind of brighten up your mouth. You might feel like it's full and very tasty, or a wine that's not so good might be flat and doesn't have anything but more than water in terms of reaction to your taste buds and so on. So excuse me. So this is what you do when you drink wine for, you know, any period of time. You find out how this all works. But black cherry and red wine go pretty well together. Cassis is another one that goes pretty well together. Red wine is not strictly Cabernet Sauvignon for sure, and it's not just Merlot either. One of my favorite red wines is Pinot Noir. And Pinot Noir is the most difficult grape in the whole world to grow, no matter whether you're in Europe, in France, or whatever, or you're in Australia or in America, it's difficult to grow. Why? It's finicky. It doesn't like weather to be too wet or too dry or too windy or too hot or too cold. It just kind of goes on and on and on and on. And the nutrition in the soil needs to be the way it, you know, it needs to be up to par, so to speak, in order to make Pinot Noir taste good. But boy, let me tell you, when you get a good Pinot Noir, it is very, very hard to beat. Got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about this and what you can expect in the future. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to Wines du Jour, and I'm your host, Les Kincaid. Be back in just a moment. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Wine du Jour. We're having a good time here in Fire Rock Steakhouse. And the food in here is very good. Service is great. I have to tell you, it's really nice. And the fact that we have three red wines tonight, I think, is particularly a good thing, as opposed to, oh, my goodness, why? And the answer is, we're at a steakhouse. And every one of these wines have been paired perfectly by the chef in the kitchen. And maybe you haven't noticed, we haven't had a steak. We had chicken fried steak. I guess that's technically a steak. But you know what I'm saying. We didn't have any red meat to compare it with. We had other items. You know, egg roll. Who would ever think of ordering a red wine with an egg roll? Nobody would, generally speaking. So anyway, the idea is that it's all worked out very, very well. I want to also mention this is our first show of 2017. We're actually, for those of you that maybe haven't listened to us in the past, we've been on the air now every Thursday for over 15 and a half years. That's at an upscale restaurant each week and featuring three wines, and that's a good thing. Now, what we've done over the last several years in particular is we have paid particular attention to our guests. The one that becomes the most frequent, if you will, person that comes to the show, we give them a little bit of a bonus. And tonight, we have got, I think, a pretty gone good bonus. We have a beautiful $50 gift certificate at a restaurant and a nice bottle of red wine, which ain't too bad. You put the two together, and you've got a winner. Now, I have to mention that there's one lady that's won this damn thing every year. Her name is Kate Walters, and she's been here. She's like almost like my wife as far as coming to the show. Comes almost every week. If she's really sick, maybe she won't be here. But other than that and death, she's here. That's the way it is. And guess what? She loves every minute of it. So I want to mention that Kate Walters has won our gift, and she can come up and get it now or when we go off the air, whatever you'd like to do. That's a good thing. She's been drinking the wines that she's won in the past years and never said, I didn't like that. She's always said, that was really good. So this year, in addition to the bottle of wine, we thought a nice little $50 gift certificate for a beautiful restaurant, it was a good thing to add to it. So that's what we've done. Well, I have to say, tonight's combination of the Hiljack Cuvée from Central Coast, the 2012, was a very good combination to go with the other. And the second one, of course, Horsehaven Hills with Cabernet Sauvignon, 14.5% alcohol content, very good, $12.99 retail in your local wine store. And the last, but certainly not least, the Artist Series Meritage. That's Meritage as opposed to Meritage. It's not Meritage, it's Meritage. Okay, just so you know. Chateau St. Michel with a blend of Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Cab Franc, and Malbec with 14.5% alcohol as well. I want to thank you for listening to Wines du Jour. We are here at Fire Rock Steakhouse in Las Vegas. I want to thank Michelle, who hasn't been able to come in, because I have to tell you, Blake, there's no seats out there. It is full. We are America's number one syndicated wine and food radio show. We broadcast each week at this very same time and on this very same station you're listening to right now, so you can come back next week at the very same time. You've enjoyed this broadcast. Tell everybody you know. And if you want to know more about my favorite subjects, log on to my personal website, leskincaid.com, or go to my Facebook or my Twitter for all the current updates. Also, I want to thank my radio broadcast engineer, Jeremy Knight, for all of his work. Thanks for choosing and listening.